allocation of 9 million. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. You may be seated. As you remember this, as you take this baptism, take hold of your own baptism, and your faith returns to God by renouncing the devil and confessing faith in the triune God. Dearly beloved, Christ our Lord says in the last chapter of Matthew, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I command you." In the last chapter of Mark, our Lord promises, "Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved." And the Apostle Peter has written, "Baptism now saves you." The Word of God also teaches that we are all conceived and born sinful and are under the power of the devil because Christ claims us as his own. Therefore, depart, you unclean spirit, and make room for the Holy Spirit in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Receive the sign of the Holy Cross both upon your forehead and upon your heart, to mark you as one redeemed by Christ the Crucified. Let us pray. Almighty and eternal God, according to your strict judgment, you condemned the unbelieving world through the flood. Yet according to your great mercy, you preserved the believing Noah and his family, 8 souls in all. You drowned hard-hearted Pharaoh and all his hosts in the Red Sea, yet led your people Israel through the water on dry ground, foreshadowing this washing of your holy baptism. Through the baptism in the Jordan of your beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, you sanctified and instituted all waters to be a blessed flood and a lavish washing away of sin. We pray that you would behold Louis Mark, according to your boundless mercy, and bless him with true faith by the Holy Spirit, that through this saving flood all sin in him, which has been inherited from Adam, and which he himself has committed since, would be found in God. Grant that he be kept safe and secure in the holy ark of the Christian Church, being separated from the multitude of unbelievers, and serving their aid at all times with a fervent spirit and a joyful hope, so that with all believers in your promise, he would be declared worthy of eternal life, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Beloved in the Lord, from ancient times the Church has observed the custom of appointing sponsors for baptismal candidates to assist parents in the responsibility of raising children in the faith. Sponsors, you are to confess the faith expressed in the Apostles' Creed and taught in Small Catechism. You are to serve as a witness of Louis' baptism. You are to pray for him every day, support him in his ongoing instruction and nurture of the Christian faith, and encourage him toward the faithful reception of the Lord's Supper. Finally, you are at all times to be examples to him of the holy life of faith in Christ and love for the neighbor. Jim and Ayla, is it your intention to serve Louis Mark as sponsor in the Christian faith? Then say yes with the help of God.
Yes with the help of God.
God enable you both to will and to do this faithful and loving work, and with his grace fulfill what we are unable to do. Amen. Amen. Hear the word of God. They brought young children to Jesus that he might touch them, but the disciples rebuked those who brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was greatly displeased and said to them, "Let the little children come to me, and do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of God. Assuredly, I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter it." And he took them up in his arms, put his hands on them, and blessed them. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and
go now from this time forth and even forevermore.
Amen.
Louis Smart, do you renounce the devil?
Yes, I renounce him.
Do you renounce all his works?
Yes, I renounce him.
Do you renounce all his ways?
Yes, I renounce him.
Do you believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth?
Yes, I believe.
Do you believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried? He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead.
Yes, I believe.
Do you believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting?
Yes, I believe.
Louis Mark, do you desire to be baptized? Louis Mark, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Almighty God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has given you the new birth of water and of the Spirit, and has forgiven you all your sins, strengthen you with his grace to life everlasting. Amen.
Amen.
Please stand. Let us pray. Almighty and most merciful God and Father, we thank and praise you that you graciously preserve and enlarge your family, and have granted Louis Mark the new birth of holy baptism, and made him a member of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, and an heir of your heavenly kingdom. We humbly implore you that as he has now become your child, you would keep him in his baptismal grace, that according to your good pleasure, he may faithfully lead a godly life to the praise and honor of your name, and finally, with all your saints, obtain the promised inheritance in heaven, through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Peace be with you. We continue now with the interlude in the middle of page 2.
When he calls me, I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble.
I will rescue him and honor him.
With long life, I will satisfy him.
And show him my salvation.
Because you have made the Lord your dwelling place,
the Most High, who is my refuge,
no evil shall be allowed to befall you.
No plague come near your tent.
For he will command his angels concerning you
to guard you in all your ways.
On their hands they will bear you up,
lest you strike your foot against a stone.
You will tread on the lion and the adder,
the young lion and the serpent. You will trample underfoot.
Thank you. O Lord God, you led your ancient people through the wilderness and brought them to the promised land. Guide the people of your church, that following our Savior, we may walk through the wilderness of this world toward the glory of the world to come. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
The Old Testament reading for the first Sunday in Lent is from the first book of Moses, called Genesis, the 22nd chapter. God tested Abraham and said to him, "Abraham," and he said, "Here am I." He said, "Take your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you." So Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, and took two of his young men with him and his son Isaac. And he cut the wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. On the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place from afar. Then Abraham said to his young men, "Stay here with the donkey. I and the boy will go over there and worship and come again to you." And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son. And he took in his hand the fire and the knife. So they went, both of them together. And Isaac said to his father Abraham, "My father." And he said, Here am I, my son." He said, "Behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" Abraham said, "God will provide for himself the lamb for the burnt offering, my son." So they went, both of them together. When they came to the place of which God had told them, Abraham built an altar there and laid the firewood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then Abraham reached out his hand and took the knife to slaughter his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, "Abraham, Abraham." And he said, "Here am I." He said, "Do not lay your hand on the boy or do anything to him, for now I know that you fear God, seeing you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me." And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him was a ram caught in the thicket by its thorns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called that place, "The Lord will provide." As it is said to this day, on the mount of the Lord it shall be provided. And the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time from heaven and said, "By myself I have sworn, declares the Lord, because you have done this and have not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you, and I will surely multiply your offspring as the stars of heaven and as the sand that is on the seashore. And your offspring shall possess the gate of his enemies. And your offspring shall your offspring shall all nations of earth be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The friendship of the Lord is for those who fear him.
And he makes known to them his covenant.
To you, O Lord,
I lift up my soul.
O my God, in you I trust. Let me not be put to shame.
Let not my enemies exalt over me.
Indeed, none who wait for you shall be put to shame.
They shall be ashamed who are not to be treacherous.
Make me to know your ways, O Lord.
Teach me your paths.
Lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation.
For you I wait all the day long.
Remember your mercy, O Lord, and your steadfast love.
For they have been from old.
Remember not the sins of my youth, or my transgressions.
According to your steadfast love, remember me, for the sake of your goodness, O Lord.
Good and upright is the Lord.
Therefore, he instructs sinners in the way.
He leads the humble in what is right.
And teaches the humble his way.
All the paths of the Lord are steadfast love and faithfulness.
For those who keep his covenant and his testimonies, glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
The friendship of the Lord is for those who fear him. The reading from the letters is from the letter of St. James, the first chapter. Blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial, for when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life, which God has promised to those who love him. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am being tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, and he himself tempts no one. But each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desires. The desire, when it is conceived, gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is fully grown, brings forth death. Do not be deceived, my brothers. Every good gift is from, and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. Of his own will he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. This is the word of the Lord.
Put on the whole armor of God.
I apologize. I did not put the gospel reading in my bulletin. I'm going to grab a Bible from the back. The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the first chapter. In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And when he came up out of the water, immediately he saw the heavens being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my beloved Son. With you I am well pleased." And the Spirit immediately drove him out into the wilderness, and he was in the wilderness 40 days being tempted by Satan. And he was with the wild animals, and the angels were ministering to him. Now after John was arrested, Jesus came into Galilee, proclaiming the gospel of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Thank you.
peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. After Jesus' baptism, the Spirit immediately drove him out into the wilderness, and he was in the wilderness 40 days, being tempted by Satan. And he was with the wild animals, and the angels were ministering to him. This is our text. What's the first thing, the very first thing that happens to Jesus after his baptism? It's not a miracle. Jesus doesn't rise from his baptism and then turn water into wine or heal the blind or feed 5,000. It's not preaching. Jesus doesn't rise from his baptism and immediately begin to proclaim the kingdom of God or call sinners to repentance or preach in parables. It's not calling disciples. Jesus doesn't rise from baptism and immediately call Peter and Andrew and James and John to follow him and become fishers of men. Jesus is baptized, and the very next thing is this. The Spirit immediately drove him out into the wilderness where he was tempted by Satan. Satan tempts, and Satan tempts us to despair, but our hope is in Jesus Christ, who triumphed over Satan. Now, I don't know how it is for you, but for me, it is a bit unsettling to think that baptism is immediately followed by temptation, especially on a Sunday when we've had the joy of witnessing a baptism and of remembering our own. Isn't baptism supposed to protect us and keep us safe? Don't we believe that baptism rescues from the devil and gives eternal salvation? Well, yes, we do, to both. But baptism doesn't mean that we'll lead a charmed life. It rescues from the devil, but it doesn't get rid of temptation. It gives eternal salvation, but it doesn't make us invincible. There's no baptismal force field around us Christians that makes everything simply bounce off of us or makes us impervious to all dangers. Far from it. Satan puts his target on the baptized. That's why St. Peter calls the Christians to whom he writes to recognize that the devil is a roaring, ravenous lion and that they are to resist him. That's why St. James describes for Christians how temptation is the womb of sin. Sin is conceived and born when our desires lure and entice us, and then when it is fully grown, it gives birth to death. Baptism doesn't mean that we can put our shields down. Instead, baptism calls us to be vigilant and to be watchful and to keep our shields up. What does Satan want with us anyway? He wants to deceive and mislead us into false belief, despair, and other great shame and vice. Of those three, false belief, despair, and other great shame and vice, the one that I want us to be most aware of today is despair. To despair simply means to lose hope or to give up hope. And Satan loves despair. In a way, it's kind of all that he's got. You know how it is when he's confronted with Christ. He is outmanned and he is outgunned and he is outmaneuvered by our Lord. He cannot compete with Christ. And he knows it. So Satan falls back into what you might say are the tactics of guerrilla warfare. Even if he can't really beat Christ, he can still make it feel to us like there is no hope. He can make the sky look black. He can make our boots feel heavy. He sneaks out of the jungle and he lobs those grenades of despair at us. "You think there's forgiveness for that?" he cackles. "You think God loves you?" he roars. "You think his promises are really true?" he snickers. All he has to do is light the fuse of doubt, and despair will just ignite. If he can demoralize us and rob us of hope, if he can make us feel unloved and unforgiven, if he can convince us that there's no meaning or purpose, then he's succeeded. And dear friends, I hate to tell you, but Satan has done well. He has done really, really well. There are many who are despairing, many who are without hope, way too many. Even Christians, even here, despairing about the state of their lives and their homes, their work and their future, their church and their faith, their country and their world. I heard recently about a person who gave a long litany of reasons for despair. The Roman Catholic Church is going down the tubes, they said. The Southern Baptist Convention will be irrelevant in 5 years. The coronavirus has been politicized, and the United States will not be able to stop China, and on and on and on. If this person had bothered to take notice of our own church body, the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, I'm sure he would have found plenty of reasons among us for despair as well. One tool that the devil uses is the tool of isolation. We're most vulnerable when we're alone, when we're by ourselves, when we're separated from the flock. You know, the wolf will pick out that lamb that's straggling behind and is alone. This is why we should never think of the physical presence of others in our lives as optional. The devil invented the idea that no human contact is required. Just think of the impact that that idea has on infants in orphanages. That infant who has had little to no human contact for the first year or two or three or four of life, they are damaged for the rest of their lives. It is not good for man or for woman or for child to be alone. And what did Jesus do when the sick were brought to him? He touched them. And so he does for us. Holy baptism is a high touch thing. It can't be done with just words. Water is necessary. Holy communion is a high touch thing. It can't be done with just words. Bread and wine are necessary. Our Lord would touch us. Our Lord would be close to us. And so we must not believe that true safety is found in social distancing. We must not believe that true safety is found in being separated from or distant from our Lord or from brothers and sisters in Christ. We need one another, and we need him. And it's striking, isn't it? When Satan came to tempt Jesus, he came when Jesus had been isolated in the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights. We are most vulnerable to despair when we're most isolated. Isolated from one another and isolated from the Lord. And the worst part of it is that too often we've given into it. We've allowed despair to creep in. We've allowed despair to occupy corners of our hearts and our souls. We've allowed despair to suck out the joy and the hope and the meaning from our lives. Repent. Look the beast in the face and tell him to get lost. Tell Satan that you will not despair because your hope is in Christ. And dear brothers and sisters in Christ, it is because of the temptations that we face, because of the temptation that we face to despair, that the Holy Spirit drove Jesus into the wilderness right after his baptism. The Holy Spirit made a point of putting Jesus in the place where he would face temptation. He went out there for single combat with Satan. He went out there to be our champion. He went out there to prove that forgiveness is real and that God's love for us is genuine and that all his promises are true. Jesus entered temptation not only to give us hope, but to be hope for us. You know, there is a difference between watching someone else battle and thinking, I can do it, versus having someone actually do the battle for you. Jesus is not just an example for us. He didn't just go out into the wilderness and defeat the devil to show, hey, look, it can be done. He went out there and triumphed over Satan that he might be our champion and our victor. Without Christ, we have no hope. But we are not without Christ. If we trusted only in ourselves, despair would be inevitable, but we do not trust only in ourselves. We don't trust in ourselves at all. You see, baptism has joined you to Jesus. Baptism has joined you to Jesus' death, and it has joined you to Jesus' resurrection, and it has joined you to Jesus' victory over Satan. One of the striking things in Mark's gospel is that, unlike in the gospel of Matthew or the gospel of Luke, he doesn't actually list the temptations for us. I'm sure you know what they are from the other gospels. But Mark just says very shortly and matter-of-factly that Jesus was tempted by the devil. In part because Mark wants us to see that this temptation was not a one-time thing for Jesus, but it is ongoing throughout his ministry. What starts in the wilderness will continue as he goes to teach and to heal and to call disciples. In fact, there are more times when it says that Jesus is tested or tempted. It happens when the Pharisees demand a sign. Not because they want to believe in him, but because they want to make him stumble and fall. It happens when the Pharisees try to trap Jesus with a question about whether God allows divorce or not. They want him to be disloyal to God. They tempt him when they try to trap him with that question about what exactly should be given to Caesar and what should be given to God. They want him to abandon what God has said. And we could add to that list of temptations what our Lord endures on the cross, the mockery and the temptation that he suffers when he is hanging there. Think about what it means. They say, "Save yourself. Come down from the cross." He saved others. He cannot save himself. Let the Christ, the King of Israel, come down now from the cross that we may see and believe. If God loved him, he would save him. A temptation to despair. All throughout Jesus' ministry and culminating on the cross, he engages with that temptation of Satan. Satan wants him to despair, wants him to lose hope, wants him to give up. And you might think that Satan has won when Jesus cries out on the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me?" But he hasn't. That is not a final cry of despair. After all, he's actually crying to his Father. He is actually expecting the Father to hear him and to answer him. He has not given up the hope of being heard, even in his pain, even staring death in the face, even suffering hell on the cross. And he is vindicated because God raised him from the dead on the third day. He was not forsaken by God. There was not reason to despair, and he did not despair, and there is not reason for you to despair because you are in Christ and you are secure and you are safe in him. And by being joined to Christ in baptism, your sins have been washed away. And you have been joined to Jesus' victory over the devil, and you have been told and assured that all of God's promises to you are true. You know, the thing about hope is that it's resilient. Hope doesn't require things to be easy. In fact, you know how it is. When things are easy, we often forget about hope at all. We don't need it. Hope doesn't require things to be going well. Hope can live in a concentration camp or a prison. Hope can survive pandemics and famines and storms and wars. Hope can endure masks and cancer and unemployment and divorce and miscarriage and bad rulers and a host of other things. Wild beasts can't stop it. We know that because we have the witness of the martyrs of the first century. Christians who, because they were Christians, were thrown to the wild beasts. And there were times when God did not stop the mouths of lions as he did with Daniel. But they devoured his people. But he promised that he would raise them from the dead. Hope enables us to suffer and to struggle and to fight and to live and even to die. I'm reminded of an anecdote that comes from World War II. When it looked like all of Europe was on the brink at the beginning of World War II, Winston Churchill said, "I have nothing to offer but blood, toil, sweat, and tears." That was enough. He didn't promise a victory. He didn't say that it would be easy. He simply gave his people hope. And so it is for us, dear brothers and sisters in Christ. Our Lord has come, and he says, "I have nothing to offer but blood, toil, sweat, and tears. My blood, and my toil, and my sweat, and my tears." And this is what he offers to you. Today we pray that we might finally overcome the devil, the world, our sinful nature, and win the victory. But we do not expect this victory to come by our own power, because we know that we don't have any. We don't expect the victory to come by our own ingenuity, and our own skill, because we know that it's not enough. We expect the final victory to come because we have the Lord on our side. There is one who has descended to the plain and who fights for us. It is not with our own weapons, not with our own hands, not with our own wisdom that we fight, but it is Christ who fights for us. And he has achieved, through his death and resurrection, the victory that we need. He has triumphed over the devil. Satan has nothing on him. Every time Satan would lead you to believe that you cannot be forgiven, find refuge in the blood of Christ, who says, "I have died for the forgiveness of your sins." Every time you wonder whether God really loves you, flee for refuge to your Lord and remember that God so loved the world, including each and every one of you, that he gave his only begotten Son. When you wonder whether God's promises are true, remember how he raised his beloved Son from the dead, and that he promises to raise you as well. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, going through the wilderness is not easy. It is never easy. It is a struggle and it is hard, but we are not alone in the wilderness, for our Lord is in the wilderness with us. He goes before us, he goes with us, and he follows after. And he has also given us one another to pray for each other, to encourage each other, to spur one another on. No, we are not alone in the wilderness. Do you remember how many there were of the people of Israel? Like a million in the wilderness. We are not alone. We have Christ leading us, and we have our brothers and sisters beside us, and we have the saints who have gone before us. Satan cannot have us, and despair will not win, because our hope is in Christ. In his name, amen. The peace that passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. According to their needs. Almighty and most merciful God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, we give you thanks for all your goodness and tender mercies, especially for the gift of your dear Son, and for the revelation of your will and grace. Implant your word in us, that with good and honest hearts we may keep it and bring forth the fruits of faith. We humbly implore you to rule and govern your church throughout the world. Bless all those who proclaim your truth, that we may be preserved in the pure doctrine of your saving word, and that faith in you may be strengthened, love toward others increased, and your kingdom extended. Send forth laborers into your harvest and sustain those whom you have sent, that the word of reconciliation may be proclaimed to all people and the gospel preached in all the world. Grant health and prosperity to all who are in authority, especially to the President and Congress of the United States, the governor and legislature of this Commonwealth, and to all those who make, administer, and judge our laws. Grant them grace to rule according to your good pleasure, for the maintenance of righteousness and the hindrance and punishment of wickedness, that we may lead quiet and peaceable lives in all godliness and honesty. According to your good pleasure, turn the hearts of our enemies and adversaries, that they may cease their hostilities and walk with us in meekness and in peace. Comfort, O God, with your Holy Spirit, all who are in trouble, want, sickness, anguish of labor, peril of death, or any other adversity, especially Anne Blaze, Bernard O'Ryan, Melanie Kramer, Pat Courtwright, Kay Emmerich, Rob Gogan, Jackie Gordon, Phyllis Hoffman, Rosemarie Jackson, Alethea Johnson, Jessica Johnson, Kurt Johnson, Gary Kengis, George Kengis, Nancy Kengis, Janet Lipke, Karen Hamill, and Andrea Wetmore. Receive our thanks for the medical care given to Michael Arpino and April Gendron, and keep them in good health. Grant courage and steadfastness, especially to those who suffer for your name's sake, that they may receive and accept their afflictions in the confidence that you will acknowledge them as your own. Protect all mothers with child, including Laura Jackson, Nika Sharon, Joelle Brotmarkle, Jessica Pasco, and Celeste Brooks, and all unborn children, especially those in danger of abortion. And we give thanks to you for the gift of son Hawken Conrad, born to Abby and Aaron McDermott, for safety in labor and delivery, and we pray that you would bring this little one soon to the waters of holy baptism. Although we have deserved your righteous wrath and punishment, yet we ask you, O most merciful Father, not to remember the sins of our youth nor our many transgressions. Out of your unspeakable goodness and mercy, defend us from all harm and danger to body and soul. Preserve us from false doctrine, from war and bloodshed, from plague and pestilence, from all calamity by fire and water, from hail and tempest, from failure of harvest and from famine, from anguish of heart and despair of your mercy, and from an evil death. In every time of trouble, show yourself a very present help, the Savior of all, especially to those who believe. Cause all needed fruits of the earth to prosper, that we may enjoy them in due season. Give success to the Christian training of the young, to all lawful occupations on land, sea, and air, and to all pure arts and useful knowledge, crowning them with your blessing. Receive, O God, our bodies and souls and all our talents, together with the offerings we bring you. For by his blood, your Son has purchased us to be his own, that we may live under him in his kingdom. These, and whatsoever other things you would have us ask of you, O God, grant us for the sake of Jesus Christ, your only Son, our Lord and Savior, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. Amen.
The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. Worthy are you, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty, Everlasting God, of all blessing, honor, and praise, and to be thanked forever, O King of the universe, For you bring forth wheat from the seed and fruit from the vine, and forgiving your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who overcame the assaults of the devil and gave his life as a ransom for many, that with cleansed hearts we might be prepared joyfully to celebrate the Paschal feast in sincerity and truth. Send among us your Holy Spirit, that he may hallow this bread and wine, which are to be the body and blood of your Son, that we receive rightly this holy communion with you and the Spirit through the Son, who was crucified and raised again for us.
Amen. Amen.
Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Thank you.
The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen and preserve you in body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in peace.
Refreshing us with this healing gift. And we pray, Father of mercy, by this holy food, make us strong in faith toward you and in deep love for each other, that through us, other beloved sinners may kneel to you and receive with us grace and life in Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one eternal God, now and forever.
Amen.
Almighty God, grant to your church, your Holy Spirit, and the wisdom that comes down from above, that your word may not be bound, but have free course and be preached to the joy and edifying of Christ's holy people, so that in steadfast faith we may serve you, and in the confession of your name abide unto the end, through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.